prayers. Because we felt the covering, we felt the prayers as we went out. We saw people saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, delivered, hallelujah, filled with the Holy Spirit. We were able to baptize 21 in the river, and there were supposed to be 27, but somehow there was an interruption in their transportation. But 27 young people and one adult we baptized in the river. Hallelujah. You guys are part of that because you sent us out. Hallelujah. So if you're here today for the first time, we say thank you. Our motorcycle gang here, if you want to be called that, we're glad that you're here. And hallelujah. But people are so hungry for the gospel worldwide. I'm praying that that hunger arises here in this city, in this in this state, in this nation. God is able to do a miracle even when we don't realize it. He goes from death to life. Amen. From the ashes which look like nothing to make us someone that He wants to be. And so when we have our near-death experiences, He speaks out, and with power and authority He takes over and He begins to work a miracle for us. Hallelujah. He takes control of the enemy and sets us free. We've talked about that freedom today. One of the pastors that I prayed for, I said, God's working on your heart. He wasn't even in the prayer line. He was one of the catchers. And he says, I pointed to him and I said, God's got a miracle for you. And he testified that for a year his heart has been hurting. And when I prayed for him, he had no more pain. The next day he testified, I have no pain. I'm set free. I'm healed. So that's one of little miracles. We don't know how many, but we know that you get to be a part of the harvest. Hallelujah. And so people are serving the Lord in the Philippines today because you prayed, hallelujah, because you gave. And so we're excited that we were able to go. And we're going again May 16th, going to Europe for a couple of weeks, go to France, Belgium, and Germany. So we cover your prayers coming up for that trip. Amen. Hallelujah. The name of this message is, what is this message? The title to this message, what is this message? We want to turn to Luke chapter 4 and read some verses 31 through 36. I'm reading out of the New King James. Hallelujah. Luke 4 is one of my favorite chapters. You know, it's a place where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And he came out of that wilderness victorious. So now he's preaching. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. Come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It always gives us hope and life. It gives us direction. Today, Lord, we take authority over the room, and if there's any of those who have an unclean spirit in this room, we want to be instrumental in setting them free. And if they don't want to be set free, we ask that they leave, Lord, because we don't want an interruption in what you want to do among your church. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. In the Amplified, it says, what is this message? For with power and authority, he commands the spirits, and they're quiet. He takes authority over demons. So Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. They were all surprised at his teaching because message had authority, it had power in it, and he had great ability, the Amplified says. So we can clearly see that Jesus is the authority everywhere he went. He carried that authority. He wants you and me to have that same authority. And when we were in Argentina this fall, November, December, I woke one morning. We'd been praying for people. I preached for half an hour and prayed for 2 hours for people. That's the way it is in Argentina. And I woke up and the Lord said, pray with authority. You have more power. You have more authority than you realize. And I thought I was doing that, but the Lord was saying, when you speak, mean it. And when you pray, mean it. When you come against the enemy, you take authority over him. When there's problems in your home, take authority over it. Church, today, we have been lazy. I just tell you. The word authority is the power to give orders. The word power means passion of control. The word ability is possession of the means and skill to do something that is talent or skill. So we see here that Jesus, his authority set people free from sickness. He healed them, diseases. He cast out demons. They all bowed to him, his authority. And he took precedence over the voice of the enemy. He said, be quiet. Come out. And it says, a man in the synagogue of the church. Where was he in the church? Had a spirit of an unclean demon. In other words, he was possessed by a demon. And the demon recognizes Jesus and he says, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I thought there was only one talking. So there was more in the room. He said, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Another version says, why are you interfering with us? Why are you hindering or obstructing our plan? Ooh. See, the enemy's plan, Satan, John 10:10, Jesus talks about that, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know the second part of it says, Jesus said, I come to give you life and that, what? In abundance, hallelujah. So we don't concentrate on the steal and the kill and all of those things that the enemy comes to do, but we have to know what's happening. We have to know what the plan of the enemy is. His desire was to control that man. He was living in that man. I don't know when it happened. Maybe when he watched the scary movie or when he directly disobeyed the word of the Lord. We don't know what happened, but there was a man possessed with a demon. Somehow the demon came on him. And this is what he couldn't do. In the presence of the Most High God, Jesus, the devil couldn't be sneaky and quiet anymore. He had to cry out because God's presence made him give up his authority. Hallelujah. But guess what? The enemy hasn't changed to this day. He's the same devil as he was 2,000 years ago, and he still wants to steal, kill, and destroy you and me. He wants to live in your life and control your actions. He wants to destroy your life, your marriage, take your children, take away your job, your possessions. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy our nation, our world. This is the plan of the enemy. But Jesus said, and we're not going to concentrate on this, but I want you to know that we're seeing this very thing happening in the United States of America and around the world, that the enemy is advancing. He's sneaky. His plans to destroy, kill, steal away our freedom, but now He doesn't even have to be sneaky in our country anymore. He can be right out in the open, and he can spew his garbage, and people are swallowing it. He wants the church to compromise. He wants us to do a little here and a little there. And we know that's been happening for over 100 years. And we've, the church, have accepted it as truth. But the enemy can't create. God is the creator. We sang that. Brent was the one worshiping and saying and proclaiming that. The enemy only does destruction. He does a lot of what we would say lookalikes or acts like, but ultimately it's deception. So we as the church, as believers, need to have our eyes open and understand the day that we're living in, because our Bible talks about and prophesies the end times and what's going to happen. And in Ezekiel, it talks about the wars that are going to take place. We were in the Philippines, and 90 miles off the north coast of the Philippines is Taiwan. There's 150,000 Filipinos living in Taiwan. So the Philippines does not want China to invade Taiwan. And I guess we have some carriers that are over in the South China Sea. But we are living in the last days where there's many things are happening. But I'm not trying to get you afraid. I'm trying to wake you up. Hallelujah. I'm trying you to get to look to see that our time is short, that we have to move in the authority and power of God to stop the onslaught of the enemy, to take away his authority in our lives, to take away his authority in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. I want to read three verses there, 13, 14, and 15. We want to look at that just for a moment. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Where do you think the trance push is coming from? Are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
From the one who transforms himself as an angel of light. And we as the church will not buckle under that. We as the church need to awaken up. He may look like a saint, he may act like a believer, but ultimately he is the devil himself. And he comes into the church to bring division, to destroy. And he comes in first, he butter up to the pastor, "Oh, pastor, that was such a good word you preached." And then come back the next Sunday, and, "Pastor Mark, you preached such a good word." And then pretty soon he's over there bringing division over here, trying to turn you away from the Lord. You can put lipstick on a snake and put a nice bow on a snake, but ultimately it's still a snake.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can change your gender on the outside, but inside your DNA says you are a man or woman or a young child or a young boy. So what is this message? First of all, it's part of a warning to be awake and to watch out, to keep our eyes open so we can hear and see what the enemy is doing or trying to do, so that we personally and we the church can be aware of his tactics, because he slips in. But I want you to know that we are supposed to protect ourselves and protect our families, and we are supposed to pray for believers everywhere. I want to say that many people see that things are changing, and for the worse. But many don't care. But others don't know what to do, so they do what? Nothing. Even the churches. So what do we do? I need to take care of John first. I need to take care of myself first. You need to take care of yourself first. And we need to step into the holy place. So we want to go to Exodus chapter 3. So what is this message? There's another part. It's talking about the authority and power of Jesus. When he speaks, demons flee. People's lives are changed. They're healed. They're restored. And it goes on and on. There's a calm in the midst of the storm. When Jesus is there, people walk on the water. Do the impossible. Well, let's read this story about Moses. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. We're talking about Moses now. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said, he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing, or where you stand, is what? Holy ground. If we want to do what God wants us to do, then we have to come and stand in the holy place. Moses was a shepherd. He had dirty sandals on, probably stinky feet. But he took his sandals off. He took his shoes off. I'm taking my shoes off. He took his sandals off. And he bared his soul, the sole of his feet, his stinky feet, in the very presence of an almighty God. And guess what? The minute he turned aside to see why that bush was not burning, I believe the Lord already had forgiven him. When he stood in that holy place, he was so afraid he hid his face from God, it says. But there was a reunion. There was a reunion between him and God. The call that was on his life from when he was a baby, when his mom was supposed to abort him after his birth because he was a male child. The story says that his mother looked and saw that he was a good child, and she made a basket, you know the story, and put him in the river. And then through a miracle after miracle, she was able to nurse him, and eventually goes into Pharaoh's place and lives with Pharaoh, grows up in the presence of Pharaoh. We know that he killed a man, Egyptian, thought nobody had seen him, but the next day he was out there, two of his brothers were fighting, and he was trying to take control, and they said, oh, you're going to kill us too. And Moses was afraid because Pharaoh found it out, so he fled, it says, to the land of Midian. And now he is 80 years old, not doing what God has called him to do. Not in the plan of God. He had moved on to plan B and plan C. That wasn't working very good for him. And if you've heard me preach before, I say there's God only has one plan. Plan A. Plan A. We want to move on and we want to go to the next one, but God only has one plan. From his birth, Moses was a chosen child. Hallelujah. His mother saw it. She didn't abort him. She didn't allow him to be killed. And now he is 80 years old, and the Lord has mercy on him. Come into the presence of God, took off his sandals, allowed his bare feet, his flesh, to touch the presence of an almighty God. That's where we need to be today. Moses had done terrible things. You wouldn't have picked him as a leader. I wouldn't have picked him as a leader because we like to do the blame game. We like to say, well, look at what you've done, Mike. You can't serve the Lord. You can't teach the word of God. But the Lord says you are called and chosen, Mike, to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. We don't realize that our God is love. He's a forgiving God, and all we have to do is come to that place where we say, Lord, I want to get back to plan A. I want to be what you made me to be when I was in the mother's womb. You formed my most intricate parts. And you called me, as Jeremiah 1:5 says, before he was formed in the womb, before he was born, that God called him as a prophet to the nations. So we must cry out. You know, Moses was full of guilt and shame in the presence of an almighty God, trying to figure out how God could ever use him. How could God ever use me? I've done all these awful things, and yet the Lord says, I heard the cry of my people, and I remember a covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses, I want you to go rescue them. Because he was willing to bear his feet, his soul in the presence of an almighty God. And the Lord forgave him. Our God is love. Hallelujah. Our God is love. He's a forgiving God. Hallelujah. Even our worst messes, he takes them and he renews us and refires us. Hallelujah. So what is this message about? The third part. That God through Jesus has given you and me the authority and power through the forgiveness of sin, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to live a life free, hallelujah, from sin, full of power, full of authority, free from guilt and shame, a life of victory, a life in abundance. He's made it possible not to just have abundance, but to live in it every day. Knowing who we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Hallelujah. When we pray, when we speak, we need to use that authority. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit because we can't do it on our own. We need a power that's greater than our own. Many people have tried on their own and have failed and fallen flat on their face. And then they say, what's the use? I can't do it. And that's true. We can't do it on our own. We need intervention, divine intervention in our lives. Hallelujah. So we go to Ezekiel 37, read a couple of verses there. Before I read those verses, the Lord took Ezekiel into a valley of dry bones, very dry bones. And Ezekiel, the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, you know, Lord. But here in verse 4, he says, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. Yeah, verse 5 there. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Suddenly, as he prophesied, there were miracles taking place. As he prophesied, the impossible happened. As he prophesied, the Lord began to bring back and raise up a great army. We need to prophesy today. Prophesy to those dead things. Command those things that are dead in our life. That is only a heap of ashes because of all the mistakes we've made and all the things that we've done wrong. And we need to begin to proclaim to those ashes, Lord, I will be the man or woman you've called me to be. before I was born. Lord, I come to you and I bare my feet in your presence so that you can renew me, so that you can change my life. We need to proclaim, prophesy. We need authority over our lives for the past, for the present, and for the future. For our past lives, iniquity is passed down. And you say, well, Dad had cancer, you're going to die from cancer. Mom had cancer, you're going to die from cancer. You're sick because they had that sickness. And it's passed down. That spirit of iniquity is passed from generation to generation. Church, we need to take authority over that and stop it. Cut it off right now. The blood of Jesus has redeemed us and set us free from those curses. Hallelujah. But we have to speak to it. And the present, you say, today is a need day in my life because I've renewed the vision that you have given me when I was 15 years old, when I was in Bible college, when I was going to school. I had a vision of what God wanted for me. But the things that I've done in my life, those things have died down. But today, hallelujah, the Lord says, this present day, this time, this hour, I'm renewing the call that's on your life, son. On your life, daughter, and for the future, all the days that are before me. We need to prophesy this. All the days that are before me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All the days that are before me, I'm going to do the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. But we need the power. We need some help because we're weak. What did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you alone. In Luke 24:49, he says, tarry here in Jerusalem until you're what? Endued or empowered from on high. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. After that, what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you and you will be witnesses to me. In starting in Jerusalem, spreading out, going to the uttermost parts of the world. Mark, we found that place in the Philippines. The end of the road. There was a village there. They had a church, but they have no electricity because there's not enough people paying the bills, so they make do. But we had a wonderful service there. Hallelujah. Hot. Hot, hot. So with all of our knowledge and all of our learning, we cannot do the work of God and fulfill God's call on our lives, walk with authority and purpose, unless we have been filled with power from on high. We need power from on high. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit active, working in our life. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, it talks about the 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we know that those 9 gifts are divine. Into 3 different groups. We call them the mind gift, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, the vocal gifts, the prophecy, interpretation of tongues and diverse tongues or different tongues. And then the last one is the working gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. These 9 gifts are for you and me. These 9 gifts are to be active in our body, in our spirit. And if not, we will fail when we try to do things because we try to do it in the natural. As I was praying, the Lord says, you need to get to a higher dimension. There's a spiritual realm that He wants His church to walk in. We need to raise up and begin to look upon the things that God has promised. Things that will carry us over to the next mile and the next mile and the next mile. The gifts give us power to excel. The gifts make us smarter than we really are. Peter tried. We'll use Peter as an example. When it came to life or death, because it looked like he was going to be maybe crucified with Jesus, Peter, in his weakness and in his physical mind, chose life. So what did he do when he chose life? He had to deny the Christ that he sat under for 3+ years. He saw the miracles. He saw the people delivered. He saw all these things happen in the presence of Jesus. But when the pressure was put on, and he had to either give his life or maybe live, he chose life. Now, you maybe don't look at it that way, but in Matthew 26, in 74, he said he was denying and cursing, "I do not know the man." But after the resurrection, Jesus restores Peter. Hallelujah. He says, "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." We know 3 times. He said, "Yes." And he cried. He was full of disappointment of his own life. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So then when the Holy Spirit fell, Acts chapter 2, when the day came when the Holy Spirit fell on those in the upper room, Peter was there. And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In verse 14, it says that Peter stands up and speaks with a loud voice and begins to tell the people what had happened. He was bold. He was not bashful. He was not denying his Christ. And it says a great church was birthed out of his ministry. 3,000 souls came to Christ and were baptized. Hallelujah. Because all of a sudden, there was a power within him. It changed his life. Hallelujah. It gave him authority, gave him power. So what is this message? You can arise from the heap of the ashes of your life. Your life of defeat. And be restored back to the Father. Back to the original plan through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we do this by what? Burying our feet, our souls, in the presence of an almighty God. You can't do it any other way. If you do it, it's religion. And we know what Romans 8:11 says. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken or give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. The power of God changes us. This body needs a touch, hallelujah, needs a quickening. And the Holy Spirit in us, greater is he, what? 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he that in me than he that is in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit in me is greater than the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy and take away our freedom, hallelujah. The power of God moves. The enemy's had his way in our lives too long. It's time. It's time to let God change us. It's time to let God heal you. It's time to be delivered from that demon that's been chasing you around. It's time to arise to the call of God for your life. You may be 40, you may be 50, you may be 80. I think there's some in here that are 90 plus. Moses was 80 when he was called to rescue God's people from Egypt, from the Pharaoh. Abraham and Sarah were in their late 90s when they had a baby. Anybody too old in here to do what God wants them to do? No. I'm 75 and they about wore me out in the Philippines. But I said, I'll rest when I get to heaven. And while it is day, we're going to preach the word. We're going to speak the word of God. So we keep on and we keep pressing on and we keep pressing on. I had no problem with my voice. I had no problem with my body. Thank God. Thanks again for covering us and praying for us. You are awesome, church. We were so happy to come home to our family. Hallelujah. But God wants you to answer the call that's on your life. Brent, will you come? God wants you to move into the call. And I didn't say this before, but I come to preach, teach, and manifest the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whatever He allows me to do, whatever He says for me to do, that's what I want to do. Amen. So I come to this young man, and the Lord says, "Son, you have just stepped in. You've just placed your foot into the plan of God for your life. You've done a lot of good things. You've been really a kind man and helped a lot of people. But the Lord is showing me there's an open field for you to walk through. Is this your wife with you?" So the two of you, he's not alone, the two of you, there's still another ministry that God is raising up for you. And it's going to change the outcome of your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's working a miracle. I don't know, is it family members? He's working a miracle there. You've been praying and asking God for a miracle. He's working that miracle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For young people, hallelujah. You're so beautiful. So much time ahead of you. Hallelujah. But for this one, I see the Lord says, "I've put you on a foundation. And there's some building He wants you to do." He says, as you build this beautiful building, He said, there's a whole family that will flock to come into your presence. You will minister life to them. They will become a part of the family of God. So whatever stands in your way, push it out of the way. Begin to build. Hallelujah. Because God is with you. Hallelujah. And for this, I see so many stab wounds. You're scarred. But the hand of the Lord is coming and pulling those arrows out of your heart. And as He lays His hand on your heart, it's like it shears over all the scabs and all the wounds. The Lord says, "I have called you, daughter. I have called you to fulfill a plan. And now you are free to step into that plan. No more going back to the past. It's all in front of you. The good things of God are laid up as treasures for you, daughter," says the Lord. Now, close your eyes to those things behind. All that hurt and pain that comes back and wants to trouble you. You are free to move forward, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel kind of foolish walking around barefoot, but it feels good. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I come back here where I can meddle with somebody else, all right? But it's like this man and this woman, you're married. Hallelujah. I see a heaviness on your life, but you've pushed that aside because you know that's not what's supposed to control you. But the Lord says today, son, I'm setting you free from those things. I'm setting you free so that you can move about. Because somebody's been praying for you, and I've heard their prayers, says the Lord. And so now I'm opening up the avenue for you to be successful in my word and to move forward, even as Moses did to lead people into the promised land. Hallelujah. Receive that anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The water is troubled. The glory of God is in this place. But let's not miss out on what God wants to do. Let's find our place like Moses did in God's presence. Hallelujah. Let's find our place and let God touch us and move us. Hallelujah. Must be you, young man. I can't draw away from you. God says, wow, take me by the hand, the Lord says. Watch where I take you. It's like a whole nation is waiting for you. The call of God is very strong on your life. And you said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. The Lord says, now is the time. Let him just bury you, bury your soul before the Lord, and he'll make it plain for you. Remember Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's the word of the Lord for you. Hallelujah. Bless you. Hallelujah. Somewhere over here. Hallelujah. I think it's this. Are you a couple? Hallelujah. You've been strong in the Lord. You've done so many good things for the work of the Lord. And it seems like in your mind a lot of those things that you've sown have not come back. But you know what the Lord says? Every prayer, every seed that you have sown is in my hands. And I will breathe upon that seed. I will send the sun to breathe upon that seed, and there will come forth fruit. So do not be afraid of what has happened, what has taken place. The Lord says, do not be dismayed, but look upon me for everything. I just remind you, everything that has been sown in the Spirit is now going to bring forth life. Hallelujah. Those kids too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a river of life. Oh, hallelujah. Wow. God really has plans for you, daughter. He says, in my name, you will do great and mighty things. You have desired to touch people and see them healed. And the Lord says, I'm putting that gift in you. When you pray, when you take a hold of my word that I've put within you and begin to speak, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see people's lives change right in front of your eyes. You say, is that possible? Yes, it is, because God loves you and cares for you. All those things that happened years ago, it doesn't even matter to him. He says, where you are today, daughter, that's where you start afresh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was supposed to quit at 12, right? Somebody said real estate agents have 26 closings, so I get a few, right? Hallelujah. But God is up to something good for the church.
Yes.
You are the church. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a building. We're talking about the body of believers, the born-again believers. Hallelujah. You are the church.
Yes.
And we must rise up. Oh, hallelujah. Young man, right now the Lord says, I've got a new path for you to walk on. You've been praying and asking God for direction, and the Lord says, it's right before you, son. It's right before you. And I believe it will come to you probably on a piece of paper, and that God will just show you exactly what's next. You're hungry. You want more. The Lord says, the more is here right now for you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Young lady, the Lord says, wow, you haven't even stepped in to the holy place yet, but you're so full of power. But now the Lord says, watch what I will do in the next few weeks. There's something being released into your presence, and there's a miracle taking place. Something you've kind of given up on because it's too difficult. But the Lord says, it's not over till I say it's over.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. What's this message? that you can arise from the ashes and disappointments of your life and let God complete you and work a miracle in your life, that you can engage in His plan that was there from the day you were born. God can do anything. Some of you maybe are here today. You need a fresh touch. You need to reconnect. But don't stay back there. Get up here at the altar. If that's you and you know it, just get up here at the altar. You can kneel, you can stand. But let God reestablish His plan in your life. Let God reestablish you like He did Moses. Let Him give you a fresh anointing for your life. There's a couple here. Come on, more of you. You need to kneel. Whatever you need to do, it's between you and the Lord. I don't have to pray for you. It's between you and the Lord. You cry out to the Lord. You let Him do what He needs to do. You allow Him to work the miracle. You allow Him to come into your life. You allow Him to wipe away the past, the mistakes, all of the things that you have done that you know were not right. And now you're suffering because of it. But Moses stood in the holy place long enough, hallelujah, that God cleansed him, God filled him, God gave him power. He tried to make excuses, but God wouldn't let him go. So don't come up with any excuses. Just let the Lord touch you and move in your life. Let Him do a miracle for you. Hallelujah. So Lord, we pray. There's more of you that need to come. At least three more that need to come up here. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Moses was ridden with guilt and shame, but when he stood in the holy place, there was a transformation that took place. We need to stand in the holy place. We need to stand in the holy place long enough to get rid of all that guilt and shame, because God is the loving and kind God. He's a forgiving God. Hallelujah. He's a God that works miracles. He's a God that will change your situation. He's the Lord our God, who is above all and in all and through all. He takes this mind that we can't even understand and gives us understanding. We're going to pray, and Brent's going to, we're going to worship in a song. I know you can do it from your seat, but it's more powerful if you come up here, because these waters are troubled. The water is troubled, and the anointing of the Lord is in this house and in this place. So we're going to pray. Lord, here we are. You see us at our worst. You've seen us at our best. Now we bear our lives before you so that you can change us and make us who you want us to be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to work in your house. I want to fulfill the call that's on my life. I want to be the one who shares the glory that you have given me. And today, we give it all to you. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.